4Radio.com. 4Radio.
Do you ever feel like you're in mentality hell? You have your doctors and or your support systems in place, but you are still in pain. And then, who is your biggest abuser? Could it now be the one staring back at you in the mirror? To be or not to be accountable is really the question when making the journey to get past the pain of misuse. TobeAccountable.com, practical accountability coaching, specializing in mentality rehabilitation and restoration. A proud sponsor of Soul Sista Enterprise.
Grace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trace Rios, our only limit is your imagination. Trace Rios Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at TraceRioSilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at HigherAscent.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016. She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
This is 4Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. And now, She's Gone Country with Becky Christensen Phillips.
She's been playing at a room on the strip for 10 years in Vegas. Every night she looks in the mirror and she only ages. Everybody's buying. Says I'm a simple girl myself, grew up on Long Island. So she packs her bags to try her hand. Says this might be my last chance. She's gone country, look at them boots. She's gone country, back to her.
Good evening and welcome to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen Phillips, and I just want to say thank you so much for joining us tonight. There's a couple ways you can join us if you would like to partake in what it is that we do on She's Gone Country with Becky. Of course, you can always call and join us live at 347-857-3760, or you can join us online and stream at www.blogtalkradio/4radio, and you just look for the red boot, click the red boot, it'll pull up the show and you can listen to us live. And of course, after the show's over, everything is archived, so be sure to go back and listen to any of our other website or episodes that we've had in the past. And I'm hearing a little bit of background noise, so if any of our callers are on, if you could just mute out your phone, that would be great so our listeners don't hear the background noise. If you are listening and you do want to join the conversation, we do take live callers. So all you'll need to do is push 1, and you'll be brought into the host queue, and our producer, Maria, will be there, and she will introduce herself and get you on the line. So With us tonight, we are really excited about this evening. And before we introduce our special guest, I want to just first introduce our co-hosts, Vicki Christensen and Donalyn Quintan. Are you both there?
Hi, Becky. It's Vicki. Welcome, everyone. We're going to have a great show this evening. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, I'm glad that you both you ladies could join us. I know Donalyn has been really busy in Australia and building up Western Wishes over in that country over there where her family's from and visiting with her family. And Vicki has just been busy down in Texas doing what it is she does with her family and our sponsor, Trace Rio Silver. So thank you, Vicki, for always being there to support what it is, what we're doing. I want to thank all of our other sponsors. TobeAccountable.com, Trinity Wellness, Higher Sense. We thank you so much for being able to produce this show each and every week. So, going forward, tonight is a real special night for me. As we look for guests to come on the show, you know, I really want to find those guests that I just feel like there's a connection with, someone that really has an important message to bring to our guests or just has some really a lot of depth to what they know about our Western way of life. And, you know, really that's what our show is about. She's Gone Country with Becky is all about empowering and elevating everyday cowboys and cowgirls who love God, who love the Western way of life, that can inspire those that don't and really just bridge the gap in the generations. And that isn't just the gap, you know, I'm finding as the show's extending, that isn't just the gap in the generations of the, you know, those that don't know the country way of life, but it's also within the country community and the Western community itself, and really just bringing together past generations and the current generations to leave a legacy for the future generations. So that's what we're all about. And tonight I'm really excited to welcome a gentleman who I had the opportunity growing up to watch his father as a specialty act at several of my father's rodeos that he produced. And he was always one of my favorite because he just had the coolest act. You know, he had a cow dog and he had monkeys and they just did all these really cool things. And if anybody remembers him, that was Tommy Lucia. And his son is with us tonight. And I caught him on a show and I looked at the name and I thought, that's got to be Tommy's son. And there was just something about, you could see the genuineness in his eyes and his smile, and I just had to have him on the show. So I tracked him down, and lo and behold, he just welcomed the idea of coming on the show. So I want to give a warm welcome to Anthony Lucia. Anthony, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Welcome to our show. We're so glad you could join us tonight.
Well, thank you guys for having me. It's pretty exciting to be on a show that I didn't know much about when this journey started, but since then I've actually learned a lot about it and what y'all do, and it's pretty neat the program that y'all have and the outreach that you guys have going on, and so I'm grateful to be a part of it.
Well, we thank you so much for joining us, and you know, just a little bit of background with Blog Talk, because a lot of folks know about Blog Talk, but some don't. And Blog Talk is a national and worldwide platform. So because we're archived, anyone can tune in from anywhere all over the world. So I kind of go through this little spiel each at the beginning of our show and just ask that if you would please, would you give a little bit of background and a little bit of history of who Anthony Lucia is, so those that maybe don't know about our show or don't know a lot about rodeo and wouldn't, you know, possibly know your name, can learn a little bit about you in, you know, 2-3 minutes.
Well, my dad, Tommy Lucia, as you said, and he was he's still in the PRCA world. He started out riding bareback horses and bulls, and then he started clowning. He worked the National Finals Rodeo and all the major rodeos as a clown, and then he switched over to being a trick specialty act. He had an amazing couple black horses named In His Glory, which he named In God's Glory, and they were swayback horses who he did an amazing act with. And my dad's a phenomenal animal trainer, and I grew up in the rodeo business and traveled around the country with my dad since I was 4 years old till I was 23, helping him with his acts and creating so many amazing relationships and being part of the amazing rodeo world. And when I was 23, I turned professional as a trick roper, which is an art and a skill that I honed since I was 9 years old. And I've performed at the National Finals Rodeo the last 4 years. I've performed at the Great Lakes Circuit Finals Rodeo. I've done commercials with the Texas Rangers. I was on America's Got Talent Season 5. I team rope try to perform at an elite level, and fortunately I've had the opportunity to compete at some very big ropings and rodeos and do pretty good. And I announce rodeos as well, which I started about 3 years ago, and have worked a lot of major events and continue to and grow my resume. And then as the last 5 years, I've hosted Live with Lucia, which is a live talk show during the National Finals Rodeo at the Sands Country Christmas, which is brought to us by Cinch Jeans and Shirts each and every year. And basically just make my living by living, and I love God and I love life. And I just, that's me in a nutshell.
Well, I tell you what, you are a busy, busy man. That is a whole lot of activity that you do. You're a jack of all trades, cowboy of all trades. What would you say, I mean, you said you've been roping since you were 9 years old. You know, you make it look pretty stinking easy when you watch your videos and you watch your performances. Tell us what it was like starting out. Was it really hard to learn, and do you really have to continue to, you know, build upon your skills to stay fresh and current?
Well, it's one of those things. When I was 9 years old, we were working a run for Cotton Rosser and John Growney. We were actually in California for 6.5 months straight without coming home. And there's a pickup man who most everyone knows now who owns Bushwhacker, which is Julio Marino, but he used to be a pickup man. He used to be married to Cindy Rosser from the Flying U Rodeo Company, and he still is one of the greatest pickup men that's ever lived and one of the greatest with a rope that's ever been. Made the national finals team roping many years in the 80s and so on and so forth. But Julio always had a special way. Instead of roping a calf or a steer the regular way, he would do some sort of an ocean wave or a trick. Or when he was sitting outside, you know, during the grand entry before the rodeo started, he would be playing with his rope. And as a kid, it enamored me that somebody could make their rope do that and create, make just a limber piece of rope go into something and do so many different amazing things. And Julio was kind of my inspiration, and I don't even know if he knows that, but that's the simple fact. And we were staying at some friends of ours' houses, and when we were out there in California, his name was Dave Thornberry, who is a stunt man and also a trick roper. And he gave me my very first trick rope, and I've just always been attracted to ropes, and I used to make ropes out of anything. You know, my dad never roped, and we're always just around rodeo and everything like that. But the roping events and ropes in itself just attracted me. And Dave gave me my very first trick rope, and he kind of showed me the basics. And then I started working at it a little bit, and I got pretty good. And when I was about 13, I was doing all the opening ceremonies for Harper and Morgan. Mr. James Harper from Iowa, Louisiana used to have a big run in the Southeastern Circuit and a lot of the major rodeos in the Southeast. He was kind of he was a revolutionary type stock contractor, and he gave me the opportunity to be a part of a kid's opening they did. And that was kind of my first taste of, you know, sharing a gift that God gave me with everyone, and it inspired me. And then I went through a stage where I thought that my showing off ability was more important than actually my God-given ability. And so my dad thankfully brought me down to level earth and told me, he said, you know, hard work is the only way that you're ever going to be able to use your ability to the full of its capacity. And so he taught me that practice is the only way. And so I worked my tail off with my trick roping, and I would do a bunch of events with my dad. And, you know, it's one of those things where just roping, I didn't start team roping until I was 20 years old. And any opportunity I got to jump on an old flag horse or a pickup horse at a rodeo, to be able to chase out calves and steers during the slack, I used to do that as much as I could. And I got in trouble a lot of times because I would rope the calves and steers as they were going out, and the guys in the back would always get upset at me, but I'm like, hey, he looked like he was going to turn around, so I needed to stick it on him. And it's just one of those things that I think God gives us abilities and talents to each and every one of us. It's one of those things where, and unless you do something about it, because we all have, roping's always come kind of naturally to me, but it wasn't until I put the blood, the sweat, and the tears into, whether it be my team roping or my trick roping, that I actually was able to accomplish things and, you know, work my way towards a bigger stage and able to, you know, share my talents with everyone.
Well, Anthony, this is Vicki, and, you know, any of us, any of us out there that have ever seen you, you know, at the NFR as the official specialty act and seen a rope in your hand knows that it is a God-given talent. And, you know, your father, what a wise man. And, again, you know, like Becky, of course, I'm Becky's aunt, so I'm older than Becky, but I do remember your dad around a lot of Northwest rodeos and CB rodeos back in the day. And I just have a question. I know we have to go to a break here pretty soon, but when we come back, I have a question to ask you about, you know, is trick roping still your first love, or has announcing or perhaps team roping kind of taken over?
All right. Well, I can't wait to answer that question because I have an amazing answer.
Okay, we'll be right back with Anthony Lucia.
ForRadio.com.
Since 1997, Tres Rios Silver has been providing custom handmade trophy buckles at an affordable price. Family owned, your business is important to us. We are big enough to meet your needs, but small enough to provide that personal touch. Give us a call today at 800-550-7535 and speak with someone on our design staff. Or go online to www.tresriosilver.com. Let us help you design your next trophy buckle. That's Tres Rios Silver, Llano, Texas.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016. She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
ForRadio.com.
Well, welcome back to She's Gone Country with Becky. This is your host, Becky Christensen Phillips, and I am here tonight with my co-host, Vicki Christensen and Donalyn Quintana. And we are visiting with our very special guest tonight. His name is Anthony Lucia, and he is just a cowboy of all trades. He does a little bit of everything, and just it's been a pleasure so far to visit with. And I'm just having a great time because, you know, we get started each week and get a little nervous about coming on the air. And, you know, this is something the Lord's doing. This isn't my show. This is his show. And I'm just doing as he says. So it's funny because he just calms me down about 5 minutes into the show. And I just sit back and I just listen. And I just really am blessed so much by the guests that we have that come on each week. And Anthony's no different. So I'm going to turn the mic back over to Vicki at the moment because I know before break she had a question for Anthony. So go ahead and let her take it away and we'll go from there.
All right. Well, thank you, Becky. Anthony, you had a quick answer, and so I know it's right on the tip of your tongue, but the question that I was asking and interested in was you're involved in so many different aspects of rodeo performing, and I was asking about trick roping. Was that your first love, and does it remain so? Or do you prefer, you know, your announcing over that now?
It's trick roping, having a rope in my hand. Whenever we traveled so much, trick roping was the only way that I felt like I could truly express myself. You know, growing up with a somewhat famous or very famous dad in the rodeo world and such an awesome animal trainer and just a very well-respected man, a lot of times as a kid I felt like I would get... Hello?
Anthony, Hello? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought I lost you guys.
No, we're here.
Okay, I'm sorry. But anyways, as a kid, I felt like sometimes I would get lost in a monkey shadow, per se. My dad was Whiplash the Cowboy Monkey, and I was, you know, the number one helper. But it was one of those things, trick roping kind of gave me, it allowed me to be myself. It allowed me to do something that my dad didn't do. You know, if I would have become an animal trainer or taken over Whiplash, you know, the act or clowned or something of that sort, which my brothers have done, I felt that I would still be living in my dad's shadow. And it was one of those things where I wanted to take what my dad had taught me, whether it was entertaining or in life in general, and put it into something where I could put my own twist on it. And that's where trick roping, you know, God really gave me an avenue to give me an identity, in the sense of give me something. Everybody needs goals. I don't care if it's, if you wake up in the morning and you say, today I want to smile at everyone I see, or today I want to ask five people how they're doing and sincerely mean that. Everybody, no matter what we do in our lives, has to have goals. And trick roping gave me a goal. It gave me an outlet to put energy into hard work in. And because we were traveling so much, it was something where at the rodeos during the day, I would trick rope, I would practice, I would watch other trick ropers, I would watch J.W. Soaker, I would watch Tomas Garcia-Lazo or Jerry Diaz or some of the great trick ropers like that, and I would watch those guys, and I would go back to the trailer, and I'd get my trick rope or my rope out, and I would start trick roping. It gave me an avenue to really express myself, like I said. And, you know, so having a rope in my hand has always been my love, but then as I got older, I wanted to further it, and roping on a horse, and I wanted to combine my dad's, you know, animal training skills and just being, horses are such a blessing from God, and it's like being able to combine trick roping and roping, having a rope in my hand and making it do what you want it to do, with being in a relationship with a horse. It was like the perfect mix. And so team roping truly is, I tell you what, if it's one of the most honest events that you will ever be a part of. And I had somebody ask me at the George Strait team roping, which I just got back from yesterday. They said, would you rather team rope or would you rather trick rope? And I said, you know what? Unfortunately, in the rodeo world and in business, I mean, in any kind of business today, politics has so much precedence. And it's, you know, it's not necessarily what you know, but it's who you know and whose rear you kiss, or, you know, whose compliments you give here or there, stuff like that. And politics has so much to do with it. But with team roping, it is such an honest sport, because it's you and your partner and a steer. It's two horses, two minds, and one steer. And you don't get accolades, you don't win, you don't get paid unless you do your job. And to me, that is such an attraction, because it's not about, you know, who you know or what committee man or stock contractor or announcer you know. It's about you, and in that moment when you nod your head, that you have to execute your job and do the best that you can. And if you do your job and you win, awesome. If you don't, you keep grinding, you keep working at it. And so I think, you know, it's one of those things that's a hard question to ask, because I love announcing. I love, you know, talking to people on my talk show on Live with Lucia, and I love doing all of those things. But I would have to honestly say that if God put on my heart and said, okay, Anthony, you can do one thing and you're going to be successful at one thing, what would you choose to do? I would have to say team roping.
Well, I can imagine. I can imagine, one, the skill. This is Becky. The skill it takes to rope, because I can't even rope a dummy steer, let alone get on a horse and rope one. I just, my wrists just don't work. So, but I know that feeling, because, you know, being away and being up here in Spokane, a few years ago when I went down to Texas, and of course I left my heart down there. It's been there since back, I don't know, 2010 or 11. But it's been a while since I've ridden.
You want me to look forward? I can.
Well, you know, I
don't mind. Just tell me what it looks like, how big it is, and I can find it, I bet.
Well, you know, it's pretty big, and it's kind of a bleeding. No, I'm just kidding. But, you know,
okay,
you know,
it's supposed to be a soap opera now. It's supposed to be a fun show. Come on now.
No, I went down there, and I visited, you know, Brett and Keeley, Vicky's son and daughter-in-law. Keeley, man, she is a roper. She was like, I think it was, Vicky, was she 2008 header of the year for WPRA?
She was, Anthony. It's Keeley Tatum, and she was the WPRA 2008 world champion. She ropes great. But, you know, sitting back and listening to you talk about a rope and you know, just what you said, you know, just holding that rope in your hand, and that gave you the freedom to, you know, to express who you were. And growing up as a second generation, you know, in a second generation rodeo family, I understand that. I trick rode, and again, it was something that I could do that helped me find my identity. So I believe that, you know, the four-letter rope, that's the magic in your hands, Anthony. And what a tribute that is to your dad and the way you were raised.
Well, I mean, my dad has always pushed me to, in anything that I do it with excellence, plain and simple. He told me when I was young, he said, I don't care if you're a plumber, I don't care if you're a preacher, I don't care if you're, I mean, he discouraged me to be a clown, because at one point I wanted to be, I was like, I'm going to be a bullfighter and a clown. And he said, you're dumb, okay? Your body, he said, my body still feels the hook-ins that I took, the, you know, the hits in the barrel that I took. And that's one of the neatest things about roping, you know, and just like trick roping. My goal, and I'm going to just go ahead and put an exclamation point on what I've said. My goal in life is every time that I'm in front of people, every time I'm able to reach out to someone, whether it's walking into Walmart or walking into the National Finals Rodeos, I want to put a smile on their face, because I know how hard this life can be, and I know how hard, you know, whether you're a Christian or not, life is hard. Being a Christian gives us an outlet to lay our troubles at the foot of the cross. Being a Christian gives us that hope to every day wake up with a smile on our face, no matter what storms that we're going through, because of the hope and the mercy that Jesus offers. But so many people, including myself, life can be hard, plain and simple. So whether I'm walking into Walmart or backing in the box at the George Strait or walking into the Thomas and Mack Arena about to spin rope for 45 seconds in front of 18,000 screaming fans, I want to bring a smile for those moments that they see Anthony Lucia, and I don't want to talk about myself in third person, but for those moments that they get to see me do and use my God-given ability, not to glorify myself, but to glorify him, for those moments I want them to smile and be able to forget about all of their troubles, all of their hardships, their losses, their wins. I want them for those moments, for those minutes, for those seconds, I want them to be able to smile. And just, it's just like if you're watching a pretty sunset and you block everything out in your life and you watch something beautiful that God has created. That's what I want my performance to be, whether I'm on the back of a horse nodding my head or walking in with my lime green pants at the NFR. I want those people to be able to experience joy and know that joy is from God.
Oh, and, amen.
And that is my number one thing.
Well, and Anthony, this is Becky, and I got to tell you, I got a complete kick. I mean, nothing is more important to me than laughter. I believe laughter is medicine to the soul, and I believe it's important to laugh daily. And so that's, you know, that's just who I am. And I know that when I was looking on your website, which his website is Live with Lucia, and that's spelled LUCIA.com. So it's livewithlucia.com. And he has weekly webisodes on there. And I need to tell you, I sat and watched those, and I got such a giggle out of those, that the can he rope it.
Yeah.
So maybe you could share a little bit of that, because I'm telling you, the buffalo, can you rope a buffalo? I had to watch that two or three times because I just kept laughing.
Well, Justin Boots was my, about 5 years ago, they were my very first sponsor, and I wasn't even a professional. I was hosting the area Pro Rodeo Tour Zone. For Grit Rock Pro Rodeo at the area playoffs, which was Caldwell, Idaho, Puyallup, Omaha, and Dallas. I did that for 2 years, and anyways, I was trick roping and kind of hosting this tour zone and talking about all the great sponsors like Preferred and Ram Trucks and different things like that. Tom Feller at Justin Boots came to me, and of course, my dad has been a partner with Justin Boots for 30 years, back when John Justin was an intricate part of it, as you know, up until his death he was. But it's one of those things where Tom Feller came to me and he said he wanted to be a part of the Justin Boot team, and I'm like, you want to sponsor me? I'm the monkey's little helper. You know, I'm trick roping and trying to do stuff, but I'm still, you know, I'm still in the shadow of a 6-pound capuchin monkey. And so they believed in me, and he knew that, I guess he could see something that I couldn't even see at the time, and they became a great partner, And, you know, whether Justin Boots sponsors me another day of the of my life, I will always be loyal to their brand because they are such an amazing homegrown American company. And they came to me my first year at the, that I performed at the Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo in 2010. And they said, hey, we've been talking to Trevor Brazil about this ad campaign that we want to do. It's called Canny Ropin'. And we were going to have Trevor, you know, rope different things, and but with his schedule and with, you know, he's continuing to pursue all these all-around titles, we don't know if we could really do it. So would you be interested in doing it? And I'm like, sure, I would. And the first couple that we shot, you know, I was kind of taking their lead on some stuff, and we weren't really sure the direction that we wanted to go in. But then whenever they said, okay, here's a camera, you shoot these videos, people are going to submit their challenges to CannyRopin.com, you pick out two or three of the challenges that you want to do, and then you do it your way, the Anthony Lucia way, because we're they even admitted that we feel like we're preventing you from really doing these videos the way you want to. And when they did that, it was green light go. And I've had such a it's been so much fun and sometimes a little bloody shooting these videos for JustinBoots.com and these Canny Rope It challenges. And I tell you what, it's just one of those things where I can just, I'm a goofy person. I'm a serious person when I need to be. And I try to remain professional at all aspects of my life. But I tell you what, if you hang out with me, you're going to laugh a little bit, because life is way too short to just take everything so serious and put so much pressure on every aspect of your life. And these Canny Rope It videos, it's just one more way that I can, you know, make people laugh and hopefully bring a little bit of smile at my own expense a lot of times. And, you know, it's the same thing with my talk show in Vegas. And we've actually, on the way to the George Strait Thursday afternoon, I have a buddy of mine from New Jersey who's doing some of my videos for my website, and we're creating more webisodes, and we're shooting a bunch this week for continued webisodes for livewithlucia.com. I love, you know, like I said, it's the same thing. If I can bring a little bit of joy into people's lives for 2.5-3 minutes, then my job is complete.
Well, that's
hey,
awesome.
Anthony.
You do a good job. Donalyn, do you have something for Anthony?
Kind of a serious question, but first of all, this question is I've needed to get a hold of you. I would love to see the twinkle in our Western Wishes kids' eyes when you get to inspire them the same way that Julio did when you were a kid. So I really, really want to get a hold of you and see if there's how your schedule is to see if you've got the time to entertain these kids and lift their spirits. But I want to ask you a question. You know, we've all been blessed, and we've been in a position of influence. We've all got, you know, it's a God-given position that He's put us in. You want to put a smile on people's faces, but does it ever get heavy on your heart when you think about this future generation and the way the world is and everything? Is there a part of you that says, I just really have a heart for, you know, tell me something that is kind of heavy on your heart. Is there anything that regarding children and the way the world situation is?
Well, the way that I look at that is in our world, people are searching so often for something to look up to, someone to look up to. And in our world, people are looking for heroes. People are looking for something to strive to be. And the way that I've looked at it, I'm a big superhero fan, okay? I like Batman, I like Superman and the Green Lantern and superhero movies. Maybe, you know, to my own fault, they are, you know, it's one of those things where I really look up to those. I don't necessarily look up to those people, but I admire what they stand for, because my dad always told me something growing up. He said, if you don't stand for anything, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. And, you know, when it comes to kids, it's one of those things. I wish people would focus less on talents and more about the individual. Because when I look at, say, the sporting community, which is, you know, everybody has heroes in the sporting community, whether it's LeBron James or Tiger Woods or whomever it may be, I respect so many of those people's talents but I don't respect them as individuals. I don't respect them as human beings. And that's my own prerogative, and that's my own opinion. But I think if more parents and more kids were able, and more parents to encourage their kids, were able to encourage them to, hey, don't necessarily focus on the winner. Focus on the man who is battling valiantly with character. Don't focus on the guy who's got the gold buckles or the gold rings, but focus on the guy who does it the right way, who does it the way that when no one's looking, you'll be proud of. Not just when they're on TV being nice to people, but when it's everyday life, and whether it's the parking garage attendant or the owner of a multi-million-dollar business, if they treat them the same, those are the people I respect. And my dad always inspired me because at Fort Worth, I basically grew up at that rodeo. My dad worked it 19 or 20 times, and so that rodeo is very special to me. But one of the things I learned from my dad is the guy sweeping the floor, my dad would treat him the same as he did W.R. Watt, who ran that whole organization. And I mean, it's 30 performance rodeos, so it's a very lucrative rodeo for a clown or a specialty act to have, because there's so many performances and you can make a lot of money there. But the thing that I always respected about my dad, and something that I will never forget, is my dad would talk to the guy sweeping up the poop in the alleyway. He would talk to him the same way as he would to the owners, to the head guys, to Neil Gay, to Mike Servi, to all of these people. He would talk to the lower level, the strip and shoot guys. He would talk to them the same way, and that's something that I've always tried to do, because I think it's so important. Because if you only focus your attention on the people who can benefit you, you completely lose sight of who you are called to be as a human being by God, plain and simple.
This is Vicki Anthony, and I so love that take on it, because, I mean, that is just so true, and your dad's heart is so true. And actually, Becky, it reminds me of last week, I guess, when Randy Corley was on, and the story about Shake, the man who's, you know, opening the gate and letting you in, you know. It's very true.
And you know, Anthony, it's funny that you're saying that, because, yeah, like Aunt Vicki said, that was something that, what Randy was talking about was what my grandfather and my Uncle Henry always said, is Randy said they taught him to never, ever walk away from the arena without introducing or saying hello or checking on the gate man, because that gate man will eventually be the president of that rodeo, and there's no difference in either position. And right. It's also funny to me, because I can still remember, and I don't know if I have it or if my mom has it or if Aunt Vicki has it, somebody has a picture of me when I was probably 9 or 10 years old, curly fuzzy permed hair, at the PI rodeo in Portland, in the alleyway with my cowboy hat and my tennis shoes on, and it was your dad and his dog and Whiplash took the time to stop with me and take a picture with me and my little brother Jesse, and I still have it, and it was one of my favorite pictures. But it was one of those things as a kid that I always remembered. Now, who was I to him? I was nobody. I was just one of the stock contractor's kids, you know. I mean, But I was always involved and ran around and always wanted to be a part of something. And that was special to me, because he took the time to do that. So I think it's great that you're taking from what your father taught you, which is something, if we go into this next segment, I'd like to dive into a little bit deeper, because I know we had a conversation last month, and there's a lot that goes behind that and that relationship with you and your father, and who it's created you to be. And I would like for you to share that with the audience, because in that I would also like to talk about, you know, how do we continue? Like, for instance, next week we have Jack Roddy coming on the show, and he's, you know, 2-time world champion, PRCA past president. And it's that generation that has led you, has led me, has led my aunt, has led Donna Lynn to be the people that we are today. How do we continue that forward, so that it doesn't get lost within the generation? So we're going to take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we'll talk more with Anthony Lucia.
4radio.com.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
Abraham, David, John the Baptist, and Jesus were all seeking a wilderness experience when they would flee to the desert. Join Higher Ascent for a one-day or multi-day wilderness experience where we seek God in the stillness. Visit us at higherascent.com.
Trust Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Trust Rio's, our only limit is your imagination. That's Trust Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535 or find us on the web, TrustRioSilver.com. Proud to be part of She's Gone Country with Becky. She's Gone Country with Becky is proud to have as our charity team Western Wishes, making the dreams of seriously ill children and young adults who love the Western way of life to come true. Western Wishes, leaving the legacy of goodwill the cowboy way. Find out more at westernwishes.org.
ForRadio.com.
Welcome back, and you are joining She's Gone Country with Becky, with Vicki Christensen, Donald Santana, and myself, Becky Phillips. And I am here visiting with Anthony Lucia. And I am just, I've just been blessed listening to him the last 40 minutes. And I know that we're just not going to have enough time in the hour to talk about all it is we want to talk about, because he has such depth to the person that he is. And Anthony, I really would love for you to share with the audience, if you would, right now. We were talking when I first gave you a call. We were talking a little bit about your growing up in rodeo, and we were talking a little bit about the journey that you've been on. And, you know, a lot of people, let's just be real, a lot of people that know you from the reality show, Rodeo Cowgirl, you know, of course I watched it. I turned it on and I watched it because, of course, my first instinct when I heard that it was coming on the air is, oh, I want to see how they portray cowgirls and cowboys. I want to see if they get this right. This will be entertaining. And, of course, I saw you on there, and I'm like, oh, that's got to be Tommy's son, and watched some of that, you know, some of the episodes and stuff. And what I thought was really interesting and I thought was really great was it caught the attention of my older teens. And my older teens just, you know, some of them like the rodeo, some of them don't really care. You know, they're just kind of in the mix, they're all in their own little technology world. But it was the one show that I could get them all three to watch together. And it cracked me up because it was the furthest thing from my mind that I thought that they would sit and watch with me. But they did, and they just got a kick out of it. And so when talking to you on the phone and learning what I learned about you and your journey, a lot of the people out in the world wouldn't know that the person behind the scenes, who you really are, is a little bit different than what's portrayed on the TV. And so I would just love for you to share with them a little bit about where you've been and what you've gone through that's really led you to this place where you have this relationship with the Lord and where you have been blessed with all these different opportunities, you know, between the doors opening to be on a reality show, the doors opening to do team roping and your show in Vegas, all these things. You know, and we know, that those were God-given opportunities, that He opened those doors. And that's something special, and I know that's because that's the walk and the journey that you've been on with him personally. Can you share a little bit about that and what that looked like? Because I think they'd be a little shocked to know what your original intentions were when you were younger.
Well, when I was when I was a young kid, as any young kid go, from one day to the next, you have different goals. But when I was about, you know, one day you want to be a fireman, the next day you want to be a doctor, the next day I used to want to ride Bronx, the next day I wanted to be the clown, the next day I wanted to, you know, all this and that. And it was one of those things, I came to a point when I was probably 11, 12 years old, people would ask me what I wanted to do when I grew up, and I would say, whatever God wants me to do. And it wasn't a thing, I didn't do that, you're like, oh, look everybody, I believe in God and I'm a Christian, and you know, I'm 12 years old and you should really, you know, treat me different, or you should really think I'm a really good kid because I'm saying I love God. I said that because that's what I believed. I believed in my heart whether God wanted me to be a plumber, whether God wanted me to be a mechanic, or whether God wanted me to be, you know, a great announcer, whatever it may be. I said, I'm going to do whatever God wants me to do. And as I grew older, I realized that, you know, God had given me some ability in a lot of different areas, and the only way to capitalize on those abilities, and not in a financial way, but by doing what you're supposed to do, is to work hard and to give it to God. And I've always said, people are like, well, why don't you go to the PRCA National Convention in Las Vegas? And I said, because God's my booking agent. I said, I don't want to have to sell myself to people for them to hire me. I want to pay my dues. I don't care who my dad is. I want to pay my dues. I want to grind it out, and I want to work hard and earn my spot at a rodeo that I'm going to be at, whether it's trick roping, announcing, or team roping, whatever it may be. I'm not going to use finances. I'm not going to use my last name, and I'm not going to use the butt-kissing aspect of rodeo. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be me, and if that's not good enough, then so be it. God's got me. I wasn't worried about it. And, you know, with this reality show, I looked at it as an opportunity to brand my sponsors, to brand the Anthony Lucia type brand. And it was one of those things that didn't turn out quite the way that I'd expected it to, but it was still an opportunity to, you know, to do something different. And just like when I went on, I was asked to be on America's Got Talent by the producers. They called me, and my dad was very much against it. He said, you know, in the Bible it says, do not throw pearls at swine. He said, the people that you're going to be on that show with, you're on a whole nother level. And he wasn't saying that because I was the greatest trick roper or anything like that. He was saying, you have a God-given ability, and you're going to be judged by men. You're putting yourself in a position to be judged by men. He goes, and that's not right. He said, you shouldn't be on national TV being judged by men, because the three city people, they're going to tell you whether you're good enough or not. He said, what are you doing? But me being somewhat hard-headed, I said, no, I want to do it, and I'm very glad that I did. And, you know, I never looked at it as I was being judged by men. Whenever I got after the semifinals and I got, you know, X'd or whatever on America's Got Talent, I gave one of the greatest performances of my life. But it had nothing to do with my performance. It had to do with the scripting and the editing and so on and so forth, and the stories that they wanted to really push. And that was fine. I was very pleased with my performance. It's not like I went on there and, you know, didn't do very good in my trick roping and was like, oh, shucks, I wish I would have done better. And then maybe I would have went on, because my dad taught me something a long time ago. He goes, whether everybody claps for you, gives you a standing ovation, or they boo for you, you know in your heart the job that you did. Let that be your judge. Do not let a stock contractor giving you a job. Don't let a committee man giving you a job. Don't let an announcer telling you how great you are make you feel good about yourself, because you know the job that you did. And the difference in that is you don't have any highs or lows. You live a life of joy and peace, knowing that you got God in your heart, love on your mind, and you do your job to the best of your abilities. And so, you know, it's just like with the reality show. When I first divulged into that, I was like, wow, this is, you know, it's on A&E. It's supposed to be after Duck Dynasty. This could be such an amazing opportunity for me to solidify myself, not as a Bible beater, but to give myself a little bit more of a platform to be able to talk to people about God, or not even talk to people about God, but live my life in a way where people will know I'm a Christian man and have morals and beliefs. And yes, I fail, I mess up every day, every single day. But I've always said that being a Christian is about being perfect. It's about searching for perfection, seeking perfection. And that perfection is Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for our sins. And that is something that I will never attain, is perfection. But you know what? I can serve God who is perfect and created perfect. And with the reality show, you know, y'all probably don't even know this, but 2 months ago I made the decision to, or about a month ago actually, I made the decision to, if there was going to be another season, to not be a part of it. Because And one of the main reasons I did that was for the simple fact that no matter what you do, the producers and the execs are going to portray you in the way that they want you to be portrayed. Well, on that show, they portrayed me as basically a guy who chased barrel races around the country. And I felt like that was a disservice and, in a way, spitting in the face of God, who's given me these abilities and given me the opportunity to do so many awesome things on such an elite level, that it wasn't doing my ability, it wasn't doing God justice, not even me. It wasn't doing God justice, because if you didn't know me or didn't know who I was or didn't know who my dad was, and you saw me on the show, you're like, oh, this is a little, you know, smitten little cowboy, doesn't have nothing going on, and he just takes the barrel races around. And contrary to popular belief, that is not the case.
You know, and what's funny, though, Anthony, though, is I got to tell you, though, coming from sitting with I think it might give you a little bit of encouragement in that, at least in this, is that sitting with, you know, three teenagers that didn't know you from Adam, and me who sat and watched and analyzed everything just to see how much it truly was scripted, I found that no matter how much they scripted the show, there was always, you were always, always, always trying to be a gentleman. And I saw that aspect throughout it. And that's why I said there's some things you can't hide. The Bible says that your eyes are the lamp unto your soul. And you could tell by your smile and your eyes there was more to you than what they were portraying. And it was just funny, because when I got off the phone with you a month ago, I just laughed. I said, yeah, see, I totally knew it. Totally knew that was totally scripted. To some degree. So when I was promoting you, this week, I was like, gosh, you know, there's still an audience out there from that show, whether or not they're going to do it again or not, that I would love for them to hear your heart. And so I was really careful about which clips I looked for to put up for you, because I'm like, I don't want him to, you know, think that we're portraying him that, because that's not his heart. So that's why I put the one of you when you met Jessica's mom, because I thought that was just the sweetest clip that I could find of the show, just your true genuineness.
That was quite possibly one of the realest moments of the show, because I was scared beyond belief to meet this girl's mom. I mean, I'm saying I was sweating bullets, I was frazzled, and the producers are like, did you drink coffee this morning? I'm like, no, I didn't drink coffee, I'm about to meet this girl's mom, how do you expect me to act? And they're like, well, we need you to calm down a little bit. I'm like, I can't calm down.
His legs just is tapping, and
with four cameras around me in a grocery store, for crying out loud, and you want me to play it cool? I mean,
not going on.
What are you on? Because I want some of that.
Oh, that's hilarious! That's hilarious. Well, I think it's great that you were able to come on tonight, because I think, you know, like I was telling you on the phone, there is so much more to, I mean, I think it's wonderful coming from where we've been to where we are now with rodeo, from, you know, the money that you can earn, the recognition you can receive, the platforms that are available now through media and all the different outlets. I mean, rodeo has gone to a completely different level, but there's still those that just don't quite understand it, and there's still those that there's a message that all of us have. We each, you know, Donna Lynn always says, she'll tell you tonight, everyone has at least one book in them. When are you going to write yours? Am I right, Donna Lynn?
Oh, man, I am the classic cheerleader for that. There's so many. Yeah, okay, Anthony, are you working on a book right now?
I'm not.
Well, I'll be your cheerleader from now on, because, boy, I'll tell you, what an amazing, blessed interview tonight. I'm really encouraging listeners tonight to email and Facebook this show tonight, because you're truly a role model, and I mean, the idea that you just don't make any apologies for loving God, this is what kids need to, well, this is what everyone needs to hear. So you are truly a blessing tonight.
Well, I appreciate that, and one thing that I wanna make sure that I share with everyone who is listening, and even with y'all, and it's something that hit me probably 3 weeks ago. It just made a huge impact on my life. And I go to a church here in Weatherford called New River. And
Anthony, I go to New River.
Awesome.
Oh, my my gosh, Andy, I'm sorry. Scott Crenshaw, we're partnering on a great, well, that's amazing. I haven't seen you there, so I go to the 12 o'clock. So go ahead.
Oh, okay. I try to go to the 10 o'clock so I can go to the jackpot at 1, and there's a jackpot in Mineral Wells. But anyways, something that changed, literally changed my life is, you know, in the Bible it says so many times that if you ask for wisdom without doubt in your heart, it will be given. And I've done that a lot throughout my life, and I pray for wisdom every night, and because I mean, as a man, as a human being, it's almost expected that you fail in a sense, that you sin, and I will openly and humbly admit that I fail every day, that I sin every day, and I make mistakes, I make poor choices, but I'm striving to be better. And one of the greatest things that I learned is that obedience is the first step to gaining wisdom.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Obedience is the first step to fully embracing what God has set out for us. And the will, and his most holy and perfect will to truly come to fruition in our lives, the first step. I don't care how good you think you are. I don't care if you're the greatest sinner in the world, but obedience, a desire, a heart of obedience to God and his teaching. And I learned this, and it opened up my mind immensely. It opened up my life immensely, because if I simply obey God's word, I don't have to be the smartest person. I don't have to be the most holy person. But if I simply strive to obey God's teaching, the wisdom that will come from that, because it opens up your mind, your heart, your soul to God's wisdom that comes to you from your inner voice, God's wisdom that comes to you from happenings in your life, that you're able to see truly what God is doing in your life, and obedience is that first step. The disciples, and I'm not a preacher by any means, but the disciples, they weren't the smartest guys. They were fishermen, for crying out loud. I mean, they were a bunch of roughnecks. They weren't. But you know what they did? They said, Father, I will follow you. And they did that. They didn't do it in word. They did it in action. And the decisions that we make every day, the decision of obedience every day, brings us closer spiritually, mentally, physically to God and his desire and his will for our lives. This is going to be a story. It's a real quick story. I know we're running out of time.
Yeah, we got about 1 minute.
Okay, 1 minute. Real quick story. I was at the George Strait team roping, and this last Friday and Saturday, $150,000 to each winner, trucks, trailers, everything. I come back 10th callback in the short round, and I ended up winning 5th. I won $27,000. Me and my partner each won $27,000, and it was huge. And someone asked me the other night, or last night actually, they said, how did you deal with the pressure in that situation? I said, I prayed for wisdom. And it was the first time, one of the very first times in my life, that I prayed for wisdom, and God didn't just, okay, you're going to catch the steer, but God gave me wisdom to do what he's created me to do. Mm-hmm. We are not given a spirit of fear, but a spirit of courage. And if we embrace that every day, we are more than conquerors.
Amen, Anthony. I thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. I definitely would love to have you back on if you have time in the next few months. Awesome.
Yes.
We're going to close out. Ladies, I'm going to make it short and sweet. We're going to close out. Anthony, again, thank you so much for coming on the show, and we're going to close out with Little Cowgirl Logic. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Thank you, Anthony. Good night.
Thank you.
I was about 5 or 6 at the time, and Dad had all the hogs rounded up and pinned at the barn so he could notch their ears and clip the tushes. I'd badly wanted to come, and Dad told me that I could get up in the hayloft right above where he was working and stay put. I had a great view to watch from there, but was I satisfied? No, I wanted to help. Well, unbeknownst to Dad, I slipped out of the hayloft, was out in the barnyard making my way around the back of the barn when all of a sudden the meanest sow that we had headed straight for me. I was screaming, but Dad couldn't hear me over the squealing of the pigs. There was nothing else to do but run for Dad as fast as my little legs could carry me, and that sow was right on my rear, woofing all the way. Dad saw us, grabbed up a board, and headed toward me. I jumped up in his arms and kept climbing till I was perched on his shoulders. I was so scared that I peed all over my dad. Well, is there a point to this story? The way I figure it is, God is our Heavenly Father, has set boundaries for us to live by. And those boundaries are oftentimes looked upon as being there just to take away our freedom. But that's a misconception. God's boundaries are there for our life, health, peace, and safety. But just like I did back then, most of us got to slip across that line sometime or another in an attempt to get our way. Sometimes we can find ourselves in a worse situation even than having a hog on our hiney. Well, what's the answer? Same. Run to the Father, calling out the name of Jesus. He'll save you. Don't worry about cleaning yourself up before you come. You don't have time, and you can't. And just like my daddy didn't throw me away because I peed all over him, neither will Jesus cast you aside in all your mess. I'm Crystal Lyons, and this is Cowgirl Logic.
Grace Rio Silver was founded in 1997. Our goal today remains the same as it was back then, to provide you, our customer, with a quality buckle. Call today and visit with one of our family design experts about your next trophy buckle. From 1 to 100, each is individually made by hand, one at a time. Remember, at Grace Rio, our only limit is your imagination. Grace Rio Silver, Llano, Texas. 800-550-7535. Or you can find us on the web at traceriosilver.com. Proud to be a part of She's Gone Country with Becky.
Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
This is 4 Radio, a media platform used to elevate voices and empower dreams. And now, Women on the Edge with Becky Ryan.
Hello, everybody. Happy St. Patrick's Day. I am Becky Ryan. This is Women on the Edge, and Maria DiGiovanni is my partner and co-host. Maria, are you out there?
I am. Go ahead and please thank your sponsors for this incredible show, Women on the Edge.
Well, help me out a little bit. I just got in, and I hear that you guys ended up having an earthquake.
Well, the main sponsor I want you to talk about is what your mother is doing. That's the main one.
About my mom with RIFNA?
Yes.
RIFNA is an interscholastic program, which means that they take the middle school and the high schoolers, and they compete against local barns. And it even can go up to the national level where they compete from state to state. And back in 2003, after a whole bunch of research, my sister, who had gone to Virginia Intermont, it is an equestrian program, an equine medicine, all about horses, she found out that there was no real sports if people weren't paying out of their pocket. And she ended up, through, I'd say, God, coming up with a way to go and say, hey, how come we're not having equestrian sports for the middle schoolers and the high schoolers to even lower the cost? And when you look at riding in some sort of a program out there, you're talking about a lot of money. And some of the programs are basically for the elite. And when you look at somebody from an average household, and this is back in 2003, they still found it difficult. Now with the economy the way it is, it puts it out of reach. And by doing RIFNA, they come together, they learn about the horses, and they also end up winning scholarships. They get points just as like a football team. And it pulls kids together, and some of the lessons, I think, for my kids, it's like $15. Because the barns are doing it together. They do fundraisers.
And that is something that puts it into the same league as football, the jersey and different things like that. And you're riding horses. So have you been a rider much?
No, but I don't know what happened to your microphone. Talk back into the microphone. Oh, there it is. Sounded like you went into a tube for a minute. I haven't gone horseback riding in years, but I you know, it's something that I need to, because I know it's very therapeutic. But I just wanted you to go ahead and mention that special
sponsoring us.
Yes.
And it has been a crazy, crazy day. I hear you guys had an earthquake. News is trending all over the place. We have, we're going to talk about L.A., California, basically instituting for all the police officers cameras. We should be talking a little bit about the earthquake out there. And let's hit Crimea and the Malaysian disappearing airplane that is hitting up everywhere. I also can bring up that 911, way back when, the FBI and the CIA have admitted to destroying lots of documents, of which we don't know. So we have a lot of things. What would you like to start with? I'm hoping earthquake. Did you feel it?
Well, you know what? I had so many people call me this morning asking me about this earthquake that was like, I don't even know what it was. And no, most of us sleep through things like that. I mean, unless,
was it early morning?
No, it was like 6:30 in the morning. So we're talking the time when everybody gets up and doing stuff. So it's not like it was, you know, a early time. It was right when everybody gets up. So, but really, I mean, I've lived here all my life, and unless it's hitting in the fives, upper fives, sixes, I don't feel them anymore, especially, you know, living down in South County of Orange County, right by the military base. They're always bombing stuff and blowing things up around here, so we're always rattling and rolling. So, you know, a 4.4, a 4.7 is pretty much nothing for us.
Today I was at Kmart, and it was kind of funny because they have two floors. And above us, I guess, is storage. And they must have been moving items back and forth. And to be honest, they were so loud, the floors and how it was shaking. I was like, this is like an earthquake. And I was thinking about you. I was like, well, how was it? Was it like one of those ones that you just go, wow, that was an earthquake, and be done with it? Or you didn't even notice it? I'm guessing the latter, you didn't notice it.
Nope, I didn't notice it at all. Not even a little.
Living out there. Go on.
I didn't notice it, not even a little bit.
Well, while living out there, we had one in the middle of the night. And the only thing that happened is I ended up getting up. I didn't know that an earthquake had happened. I got up and I thought, oh, I'm awake. So I got up, and it's not abnormal for me to get up in the middle of the night. So I decided, oh, I'm going to go and get some water and stuff. All of a sudden, my daughters are up. They go, what are you doing up? That was abnormal. They go, I don't know. I heard you getting water, so I thought maybe I'd get some water too. And when we had a nanny. So the nanny ends up getting up. We had an earthquake and you all woke up. So I was like, wow, that was great. But we missed it. So like we had been waiting for the earthquakes. They never happened. So
yeah.
I'm really thankful. But at the same time, we didn't have any major ones. We didn't have buildings like we see on TV. And it's much worse to go through a tornado. Or like a hurricane, because you know about it beforehand. The damage of the noise, it can last for a couple of days of terrible storms coming through. But I'm going to switch. I'm going back to LA again. Now all officers are going to have to be wearing cameras. And they're trying to say that it's because of so many people, the public, using cameras. They needed to record the officer's perspective. And one of the things that just went through, they had a case, they mentioned it. I don't know the exact one for those that want to Google it. They mentioned about an officer who basically said he thought a person had a gun. The other people said, no, he did not. But when they ended up using the camera from the officer's perspective look like a gun. So it's actually very positive to get maybe their point of view, especially if you're running through things and you know most about these officers, like between the two of us, without being an officer, that it's a lot of stress and quick thinking. What do you think about them being told that they have to mandatorily have cameras on them?
You know, from someone who was around law enforcement for a very long time, I don't think it's a bad idea. It keeps everybody accountable. If cops are doing their job and doing it exactly right, anything that they do under, you know, their badge, if you can't videotape it, then don't do it. But, you know, here's some of the things, the stories that I have where I would have a problem. I remember my first husband, he was young. They were really young, in their late 20s. And he'd be working down the 91 freeway, and there'd be somebody pull over, and the guy was pretty much of a gangbanger. And he told the other people in the car to stay in the car, and they didn't want to stay in the car. And the guy that he had already had out of the car started to come after him. So the technique that he used, the technique that he used, I'm sure that if it was videotaped, the whole world would have probably said that was terrible. But from his perspective, you see, what do you do at that moment? And so, you know, it's a double-edged sword there, because unless you're an officer and you're walking in those boots and you know, go ahead and videotape it, but you've got to understand what these guys are going through when they're out there with a vest on and a gun, and you have the bad guys that are really coming after you. You know, until you walk in those shoes, you don't know. You just don't.
Well, quite a few of the comments that are coming up about this is, one, officers and the departments are getting so much public scrutiny and distrust that it's forcing officers to film everything. They have other people and advocates saying, interviewing somebody who was a victim of a sexual assault or talking with a confidential informant could compromise a case. And that's what some of the attorneys are, even Mike Raines went out and he says that he is here to represent the officers, and knowing that at all times they will have a body cam on them recording everything could actually harm some cases. But I also agree that with so much out there and Know Your Rights and with Trayvon Martin and different cases where that were so public, and had they had a camera, maybe we'd think differently. So we wish that there were cameras.
Look at the case where there was cameras, with the one, the gentleman in Fullerton, and it really didn't matter. It really didn't matter. They got away with it. And there were cameras that actually videotaped that, but for some reason, it turned it around on this poor homeless guy, and they made it his fault. And it was all videotaped. So, you know, it's kind of weird. The whole thing is just kind of weird, you know?
Well, if I recall correctly, it was up to the chief who said that he did his own investigation to let it go. That does scare me, and I think that if it was somebody, and this is really bad, but I think if it was somebody that could afford an attorney, that would have changed.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an interesting one. Another one, this is just random, and I don't know if you've heard about it, but a real estate guy in a previous, a retired BMW car dealership owner went out to Vegas for Super Bowl with his girlfriend, got on the plane out of Burbank, had about 10 drinks before he ended up entering the casino, And it was Lady Luck, and I think it changed to the Grand Hotel. But it was the former Lady Luck, brand new. The owner knew him, invited him on in. So by the time that he sat down at the casino table, he had about 10 drinks. He had some dinner. He had drank on the plane. And he takes medication that makes him more drunk. How can you take 10 drinks in a couple hours then? So he says that he has a low tolerance because of the medication. I wonder what his previous was. But he went farther, and by 17 hours later, he was $500,000 in debt to the casino.
Oh, my gosh.
And from the reports that they have, he had over 20-some extra drinks comped and given from the casinos while he continued playing. And he is now suing the casino. And the reports are totally against him in the media. They're saying, be responsible, control your alcohol. You went to the casino. Of course, this could happen. You're the one that signed the paper for an extension of, at like 2 in the morning, he signed for $100,000. 20 minutes later, he signed for $50,000. A couple hours later, another $100,000. And then as morning hit, 17 hours into the straight gambling, straight at the table, $500,000 is what he had signed for them to go and do. But he had over 20-some drinks. Are you there?
Well, you can see it.
I can't hear you well.
Becky, can you hear that?
I could.
I don't know.
You hear that other person talking on the phone?
Because,
I don't
know what he's talking about yet, and I'm giving myself time to listen to what he's saying. I don't want my TV to interfere with the conversation.
Hello, somebody, we can hear you. Yeah, this is really bizarre. There's nobody on the radio with us.
Huh?
Hello, you're live on the air with us here on, what number did you call in? Becky, this is really weird. Do you hear it?
Totally.
Hello,
let's go to break real quick. Hold on.
4radio.com. Building champions through fitness, finances, and faith. At Trinity Wellness, we believe that through practical application of God's Word, your health and your wealth will be transformed. Trinity Wellness offers top-notch training in exercise, nutrition, and supplementation, and provides the tools to help stabilize and improve your bank account. Let Trinity Wellness be your transformation destination to a new outlook on fitness, finances, and your faith. Find us on Facebook or give us a call at 509-217-8016.
4radio.com.
And we're back. Becky, take it away.
Hello. We're back. We had a little special guest that appeared. Maybe it was a leprechaun because it's St. Patrick's Day.
Hey, it's 7:17 right now, so it could be a leprechaun.
Yes, that's awesome. And it is, even for me. Well, I was going to say, what do you think of somebody being basically completely drunk, even with medication that says that his alcohol tolerance would be less, having 20-some drinks, and they had videotape of him slurring, dropping chips, barely able to walk. Do you think the media should be mad at him or the casino?
Well, it's funny because there is a show on Netflix called Drop Dead Diva, and they had a whole show on this particular incident where the lady sued the casino because of, what do they call it, Lauren? Something in intoxication, that they purposefully get people in this state of intoxication so they can rob them of all their money.
I think it's robbing the person, because I was thinking, if you're not able to drive a car, okay, fine, we'll let you drive, we'll let you gamble a little bit. But when you can't even see your car, if a DUI can happen from three drinks, this guy couldn't walk. He was slurring. He was unable to see his chips. And they said that he proclaims to be over 20-some years gambler.
Treasure Island is where he usually goes. They usually only allow him $25,000 a night. That's typically their goal. And he has proof of losing over $800,000 paying it off. He also said that with his cars and everything else, $500,000 is not the big deal. The big deal is that they robbed him. And, but the media does not like it. So I'd like to hear what our listeners think. I'm guessing that they might be more inclined to saying that the guy should watch his alcohol. But I'm like thinking, gambling's for the house anyway. I mean, isn't it usually the house wins all the time?
The house usually wins. That's why they get you drunk, though. That's why they get, you know, they give you the alcohol. They can put you in.
Are being held accountable. Bars are being held accountable.
Yep.
They needed to cut him off. They could have given him alcohol poisoning, and I don't know. But I thought that was interesting. I'd like to see how that goes through. I'm sure if it does, I wonder how many casinos will be comping people if the lawsuit does go through.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever gambled much? Any? At all?
I'm not a big gambler.
I just don't picture you. You've never gambled?
No, usually when I gamble, I usually win. But I'm not a big gambler.
I have gone and somebody had told me, spend what you think this evening is worth. I'm cheap, so I thought $25.
Okay.
And I went there, and it said that there was nickel slot machines, and there was quarter slot machines, and there were dollars. I thought, well, I'll try a couple at the dollars. Well, fail. Let me try a couple with the quarters, fail. Finally went down to the nickels. I lost all my $25, and I didn't think it was that fun. I ended up going off and checking other things. I really cannot gamble. I did a lottery and I fail. So I kind of wish I could because I could see myself being addicted to it. I think it'd be fun to know what the cards are or what I think the odds are for winning and bet. But I'm happy I don't have it. I'm an addictive kind of a person. I also want to take us on over to something else. Crimea. And everything that's going down, I guess Obama has slapped some, I basically want to say that it's not even a slap, it's more like a bluff. He basically said, okay, we're going to do some sanctions, and maybe in the future, in a couple months, and if Europe joins us, it'll Russia will throw about 10% of their economy going. I don't know. When it comes down to Russia, I think that the U.S. needs to start going into their oil and compete with them. We'd already have Europe. Europe is totally dependent, especially France and Germany. Poland, we have to, they're freaking out. They don't know if Russia's going to try to reclaim Poland. They don't know if they're going to reclaim Ukraine. I doubt it. It would be a very expensive cost to Russia. But why aren't we just kind of competing with them and just take over the European market and the U.S. market for oil?
Well, your guess is as good as mine.
We have more billions of barrels. People need to realize we have more oil here than they do. And we now have Europe who feels the need to say, you're doing wrong, Russia, get out of Crimea. We believe that they voted today. They had a 97% voting so far saying, yes, we want Russia. When have you ever seen 97%?
Wow.
Anybody, any vote?
No.
Would you even believe it?
No, I wouldn't.
People are totally different, and if we backtrack just a little bit, the reason why the current administration went down was because people wanted to go to Europe and the president said he wanted to go to Russia. And that's what caused all of this to go crazy. Russia stepped in, grabbed Crimea quietly, quickly, I believe without gunshots. But I can't believe that 97% of the people wanted Russia. 97% of the people wanted Russia.
why would there have been like a revolt?
Right. We've got 5 minutes. What's going on with Malaysia Airlines?
Kind of interesting. Boy, are the conspiracy theories going everywhere to the point that people have outright said maybe that was the end times prediction and they were taken, which I thought was kind of funny. Because then, boy, are a whole bunch of us in trouble. The
right.
second one is that somebody took the plane to remove the seats to create a bomb. And suddenly, there's 280 people that nobody knows where they are and all of their families. They've broadened the scope of things as far as like five-hour plane ride. And we have seven countries, and the U.S. is going over there to also help. They are investigating the pilots. They believe that maybe they were trying to do a political move. The families are saying absolutely not. It's kind of bad because they're going through each and every one of the passengers, the pilots, the crew, and putting their lives out there. They're going to the homes and they're seizing items. And I have no idea. I have no clue. What is, when you're hearing that a plane just disappeared, what would be one of your thoughts? And nobody's saying that they're responsible.
Yeah, it's kind of really weird because if it's over ocean and but usually they would find it by now if it was a crash. That you know for it sounds too much like somebody knows where this plane is. The plane just
which brings
can't.
Us to 9/11.
Yeah, it got
9/11
to,
crash.
Yeah,
disappeared
got,
plane.
Yeah, it has to be somewhere. It just can't disappear. And
so if you're the U.S. and it's like 9/11, the FBI and the CIA have admitted to destroying tons of information related, and they admit that they quickly went through the investigation and they do not have the items that most people would keep for an investigation. So maybe the U.S. did it. We obviously can destroy items. And it's right now going, they're on trial. So the Malaysian disappearing plane is all over the news, while this court case about 9/11 and the conspiracy theorists are saying this proves everything we've said. There was no real plane, so I don't know what to say. We have many planes disappearing. Big, huge masses of metal gone. People have disappeared, and we don't know where they are.
It's a little crazy.
It's a little crazy. So we're going to have to start pushing something to the edge. How about we go and say?
You've got 2 minutes.
Let's start praying for our nations. Let's start looking at what's going on and why things are disappearing, why we need police officers with cameras. And most importantly, our future generation is going through this, and they're on all these social platforms with such a transparency. We really need to question this. So with that, we're going to be seeing you guys next week, correct?
Next week. We're going to start next week on your own new platform. So make sure that you stay tuned to Women on the Edge with Becky Ryan on Facebook so we can give you the new address to come and find us on 4 Radio, Women on the Edge.
Thank you.
Are you done? Yes?
Yes, I was. I thought I was waiting for the music.
You're so funny. All right. Thank you so much for joining us, and we will see you next week, Monday, on Women on the Edge. And thank you for listening to 4 Radio. We will see you next week.
4radio.com.
I want to take a moment to just give a special thank you to our show sponsors, ImageCoach.com, Soul Sister Enterprise, the Law Office of Corrine R. Walson, and to our station sponsors, Heart4.com and 4 International, where we elevate and empower those who are overcoming adversity.